Oppenheimer returned to the University of Michigan summer school session on physics and lectured on his latest critique of the Dirac equation. The lecture so impressed Robert Serber, then a young postdoctoral fellow, that he decided on the spot to switch his research fellowship from Princeton to Berkeley. A week or two after Serber drove into Berkeley, Oppie invited him to a movie house where they saw Night Must Fall, a thriller starring Robert Montgomery. It was the beginning of a lifelong friendship. The son of a politically well-connected Philadelphia lawyer, Serber grew up in a decidedly left-wing political culture. His father was Russian-born and both parents were Jewish. When Serber was 12, his mother died. Not long afterward, his father remarried. His new wife was Frances Leoff, a muralist and potter who later, according to FBI documents, joined the Communist Party. Robert Serber quickly became a part of the extended Leoff family, centered around the household of his stepmother's uncle, a charismatic Philadelphia doctor, Morris V. Leoff, and his wife Jenny. The Leoff household was run as a political and artistic salon. Regular visitors included the playwright Clifford Odets, the left-wing journalist I.F. Stone, and the poet Jean Roisman, who later married the left-liberal trial lawyer Leonard Boden. Young Robert Serber soon became captivated by the charms of Charlotte Leoff, the younger of Morris and Jenny's two daughters. In 1933, he and Charlotte married in a civil ceremony shortly after her graduation from the University of Pennsylvania. Charlotte took her politics straight from her radical father, and throughout the 1930s, she was a fervent activist on behalf of a variety of left-wing causes. Not surprisingly, given all these family associations, Serber's own political leanings were certainly to the left, although the FBI concluded years later that no definite evidence is known of Robert Serber's communist membership. At Berkeley, Serber studied theoretical physics with Oppenheimer, and in the course of a few years, he published a dozen papers, including seven that he co-authored with his mentor. The papers dealt with such topics as cosmic ray particles, the disintegration of high-energy protons, nuclear photo effects at high energy levels, and stellar nuclear cores. Oppie told Lawrence that Serber was one of the few really first-rate theoretical men that he worked with. They were also the closest of friends. In the summer of 1935, Oppie invited the Serbers to visit him in New Mexico. But Serber was completely unprepared for the conditions at Perro Caliente. When they arrived, after driving on unpaved roads for hours, the Serbers found Frank Oppenheimer, Melba Phillips, and Ed McMillan already there. Oppie greeted them nonchalantly and suggested that because the cabin was already full, perhaps they ought to take two horses and ride north 80 miles to Taos. That meant a three-day ride across the Jicoria Pass at 12,500 feet. Serber had never been on a horse. Following Oppie's instructions, the Serbers saddled up, packing only a change of socks and underwear, a toothbrush, a box of chocolate graham crackers, a pint of whiskey, and a bag of oats to feed the horses. 3 days later, with muscles aching and leg skin rubbed raw by so many hours in the saddle, the Serbers arrived in Taos. After a night in the inn at Ranchos de Taos, they rode back to meet Oppenheimer. Along the way, Charlotte twice fell off her horse and arrived with her jacket splattered with blood. Life at Perro Caliente was rough. At nearly 9,000 feet, the thin air left many visitors wheezing. For the first few days there, Serber later wrote, any physical task left one gasping for breath. 5 years after the Oppenheimer brothers had first taken a lease out on the ranch, the cabin was still sparsely furnished with simple wooden chairs, a sofa in front of the fireplace, a Navajo rug on the floor. Frank had run a pipe from a spring above the cabin, so now there was running water. But that was it. Serber soon realized that for Oppie, the ranch was merely a place to sleep in between long, grueling rides into the wilderness. He recounts that once, on a night ride with his host in a thunderstorm, they came to a fork in the trail. Oppie said, that way it's 7 miles home, but this way it's only a little longer and it's much more beautiful. Despite the hardships, the Serbers spent a part of each summer from 1935 to 1941 at Perro Caliente. Oppenheimer had many other visitors to the ranch. Once he ran into the German-born physicist Hans Bethe hiking in the region and persuaded him to stop by. Other physicists, among them Ernest Lawrence, George Placzek, Walter Elsasser, and Victor Weisskopf, all spent a few days there. All his visitors were surprised by how much their seemingly fragile friend clearly relished the Spartan conditions. On occasion, Robert's expeditions verged on the truly calamitous. Once he and three friends, George and Elsa Uhlenbeck and Roger Lewis, camped overnight at Lake Catherine below the east side of a peak called Santa Fe Baldy. Owing to the high altitude, Robert and the two other men suddenly came down with symptoms of altitude sickness. They made it through a freezing night in sleeping bags and woke up the next morning to discover that two of the horses had run off. Robert nevertheless persuaded the men to climb North Truchas Peak, the highest peak, at 13,024 feet in the southern Sangre de Cristo range. They scaled the summit in a thunderstorm and then had to walk back sopping wet all the way to Los Pinos, where Catherine Page served them all stiff drinks. The next morning, the two horses that had deserted them reappeared, and Elsa laughed at the sight of Oppenheimer, clad in pink pajamas, chasing them back into the corral.